Thank you, Steve, wherever you are, for asking me to teach. It's quite an honor since I've grown up with all of you as my examples. All right, let's just get into it. Speaking the word, that's what we're looking at today. And I want to talk about the heart of serving people, or the heart of helping people. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It doesn't say that "for God so tolerated the world." And it really doesn't. And, you know, sometimes we really need to look at ourselves and our attitudes towards the world, and we need to realize whether we're tolerating people or whether we're loving them, whether we're seeing their potential of having Christ in them or if we're just trying to get through a day with them. So let's go to John chapter 10. And that line in the song we just sang, that a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found, I get goosebumps every single time because why not? A Christ-like spirit everywhere. So John chapter 10. Okay. John 10 verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So this verse is a good way to sum up why we speak the word. So let's break it down. First half, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The thief is referring to the adversary, the god of this world, that guy who sucks, you know, the adversary. And he gets involved in people's lives for the sole purpose of to steal and to kill and to destroy. He does not want people to have the word. He does not want people to have what we have here. And this thief, he runs the world. He's got a lot of systems going, and he's got a lot of ideas that are running through everybody's heads. And like I said, when he gets involved in somebody's life, it is for the sole purpose for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I'm not trying to be all like down on, you know, Debbie Downer here. There's a bright side. Because Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Okay, and that's why we speak the word. Because the adversary who runs this world wants one thing, and we have another. Because God has given his son so that we can have a more than abundant life. You know, just think about what you've got. You know, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. You know, we're more than conquerors in a world where people are conquered on a daily basis. We have all of our needs met in a world where people's lives revolve around meeting their own needs. That's heartbreaking. We don't even, we can guarantee to anybody that our needs are going to be met, while the rest of the world is working to make sure their needs are met. It's a completely different lifestyle. This one is, you know, we know that we can do all things in a world where people don't even know who to go to for help. You know, the best they've got is Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Like, that's all people know. yeah. I'm glad you guys laughed. That was a little... Okay. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness in a world where people are only excited about a paycheck or when people like them, even if they're only going to like you for a week, like Dean said. You know, that's what 2 Peter 1:3 says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're accepted by God in a world where people don't even know if they're accepted within their families. We are fitly joined together in the body of Christ, where you know you belong, where people just love you, in a world where people don't know what the love of God is. They have no idea. And what we're experiencing now is the love of God. You know, we know how to receive anything from God. If I could give somebody access to the president, I would do it in a second. Because, you know, if they're running late to work, can I borrow your jet today? I left late, I slept in, can I just borrow the jet? You know, giving somebody access to the president, I wouldn't hesitate. That's a good connection, right? Okay, whatever with that. We can give somebody access to God. You know, do you need to raise somebody up from the dead? Yeah, well, God can do that. You know, a jet plane looks very small in comparison to that. But if we're going to make what we have available to other people, we have got to love them first. God's motivation for sending his son to die for us was because he loved the world. It is not because he just tolerated the world. We've got to look at the people we're around, the people who we surround ourselves with on a daily basis, and we've got to see the potential, and we've just got to love them, you know. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. So as always, Jesus Christ is the best example for anything you can think of. He just, it's perfect. So we're going to look at what Jesus Christ's attitude towards people was. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues." Notice, he went to where people were. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes I'd rather just be at home watching TV and not dealing with people, you know? But Jesus Christ went to where people were. He made an effort, you know? And preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know what Jesus Christ had to do to heal those sicknesses? He had to see there was a problem. He had to have eyes to see where people had needs. That involves paying attention. You know, he wasn't looking at himself. He was looking around and he saw needs. And that was very, very effective, if you've ever heard of what Jesus Christ accomplished in his life. In verse 36, "And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus Christ saw what was really going on. He didn't look at how people were being buttheads to each other. Sorry. You know, he saw, what he saw was people scattered abroad with no aim. We don't have to go there, but Proverbs 23:7, the first part of it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Okay, that applies to unbelievers just as much as it applies to us. If people think that life revolves around money, their attitudes and the way they act is going to revolve around money. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If people are taught, and they are, they're taught that you have to work for love or be deserving, they may want you to kind of work for their love. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What do people think? They're tricked by the adversary. So don't be put off with these attitudes that people have. You know, don't hesitate to get in there with somebody because they're not acting like a believer yet. You know? I think sometimes we get a little, you know, put off with, oh, they want me to work for their love. Don't they know it's Christ in me and I have something to offer, but they're not even paying attention to me, blah, 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 blah. Come on, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." They think that you have to work for their love. So there they are. So is he. So here's a very obvious statement that I shouldn't even need to say, but people are always going to be one way before they become another way. I know it really sounds dumb. But, okay, well, let's think of Paul. You know, he was once Saul, killing people, and that's what he thought he had to do. So he did. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." He was one way, and then he became another way. If somebody who is killing believers, who is throwing them in jail, and who's getting a laugh out of it, can spread the word the way he did, who can't change? I can't. You know, if you're killing somebody, I mean, come on. So I really want to express that, you know, if you want to move the word, if you want to really be effective in somebody's life, you want to see in your head what they could be, but don't be hard on them. You know, they're human. For God so loved the world. He didn't tolerate. He loved us. So be confident in your sonship rights. You know, I went over before, like, we have all of our needs met. We're more than conquerors. We can say we can do all things and we can mean it. Be confident in your sonship rights and be willing to be an example to everybody. You know, sometimes it's easy to kind of try to tone down how happy you are to kind of fit in. I see it, you know, I've done it. You know, Don't pretend to be beaten down when you've been made more than a conqueror. It's ridiculous. It may make you fit in, but what are people going to notice? They're just going to, I don't know. People are going to see that you're different if you let them. But if you're going to pretend to be beaten down just to fit in, I mean, I don't know how effective that's going to be. So when people do notice how different you are, take advantage of that. Bless them. Do something for them. And if you don't know what to do for them, pray for them. That's the first thing you should do for anybody. And ask God what you can do for a person. There's so much that we can do in people's lives, so many things we know from the Word that we can apply on a day-to-day basis that sticks out to people. When we forgive somebody when they cross us, like big-time forgiveness, like right off the bat, no, I forgive you, it's okay. What does that do for a person? They see it. So keep up with it. You know, if you do something in somebody's life that really indicates that you are a believer, stick it out. You know, get in their life and let them see what you're about. Does that make sense? Okay. okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Just don't be afraid of how people are now. Because, you know, when Jesus Christ was among the multitudes, what do you think the multitudes looked like back then? It wasn't like they were all like on their knees begging. You know, a multitude of people includes businessmen and businesswomen who look like they have their stuff together. They've got a family and somehow have everything balanced. They're among a multitude. A multitude has, you know, a very attractive woman who could get, you know, anything because they're attractive, you know? We have that today. I'm sure we all get annoyed with that today. you know, a multitude has students who are very scholarly, who know everything, who are probably going to go so far in life because they have so much potential. A multitude is people who were the way they were then and they're the way they are now. People are the same. And Jesus Christ would look into a multitude of people and have compassion and see what was really going on. Just because somebody looks like they have it together does not mean they do. It means they're really, really tricked by the adversary and they're playing right into it. I've got all the money I need, so I must be happy. Well, the second they lose their money, they're like a step away from suicide. That is not a more than abundant life. Okay, so we're in Matthew 14. Okay, I am too. Verse 12. This is once again talking about Jesus Christ. When Jesus heard of it, I'm in verse 13. Verse 12, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. The event that is happening here is John the Baptist was beheaded. He was killed. That is Jesus Christ's cousin. And death is painful. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. So Jesus Christ, his cousin just died. He was murdered. It's not even like he passed away, you know, peacefully. He was murdered. And so he went to be alone. And people heard that he left, and so they followed him on foot. That was probably exactly what Jesus Christ wanted at the moment, right? Verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was really pissed off and ran away as fast as he could. And was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Once again, saw their need and healed their sick. That's compassion. God first, other second, be willing to put yourself third. You know, when people complain about things in their lives, it might sound a little dumb to us because it's like they're complaining about relationships or not liking their jobs, blah, blah, blah. They're just complaining. And sometimes complaining can really grind our gears a little bit because we know better, maybe. You know, we know that complaining is kind of silly. But, you know, Jesus Christ here could justify saying he had something worse going on than what these people did. You know, he just had his cousin murdered. But he didn't even pull that card. He was like, oh gosh, you have needs. He had compassion and he healed them. So don't pull the pity card. I don't know. We're always going to have things in our lives that could talk us out of speaking the word. Past experiences, current experiences, blah, blah, blah. But Keep that between you and God. People don't need to see it. They just need to see that it's Christ in you. So now let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And don't forget, you have a body of people who love you so much. If you really have something going on, surround yourself with them. They'll do a lot for you. They will give you the word. You know, surrounding yourself with people of this world is going to drag you down. It won't help as much. I don't know where I am. Oh, yes, I do. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Endure in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This breaks it down. Continue in prayer. You want to move the word, pray about it. Pray for the people you're around. They are well worth your time. Okay, so that's verse 2. Continue in prayer. With all praying for us, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So pray that you have opportunities in your life to move the word, and also that, you know, people within the body also have opportunities. God will open doors for you when you pray and you want to move the word and you want to do it out of compassion and not to look good. God will definitely open some doors for you. That I may make it manifest, which is verse 4, as I ought to speak. Okay, and walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeem the time that you're with people. You know, when you're at work, take advantage of that time. You know, don't be so caught up in your day that you ignore the people around you, but redeem the time that you're with people. Redeem the time with your coworkers. Redeem the time with your friends. Redeem the time with your family. Just redeem the time. Take advantage of the fact that you're around people, because when you're around people, there are ears. And when there are ears, there's potential to listen. Generally. And then verse 7. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So just pay attention to what you think about. If you're talking about how bummed out you are, then you're just like the rest. But season your speech. Tell people how blessed you are. It's okay. It's okay to be a lot happier than everyone else. You know, maybe people think it's obnoxious, but that's okay. And I mean, if God wants all people to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, then he's going to help us. And God wants all people saved because he loves the world. So when we take on that mindset of loving the world and loving who we're surrounded with, and when we have compassion for people and a desire to help them, we will see the word move. Because it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's that.